I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root Artist feature. Today, I am joined by fine art muralist Molly Rose Freeman. Molly, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Fine art muralist. What does that mean?
That's a big question. And I think that is also only part of what I do, but it's a big part, so we can start there. A fine art muralist, I guess for me, that means I translated my fine art background, which was primarily in painting and drawing, into large-scale public murals. So my painting style on a small scale is really similar to my painting style on a large scale, which basically deals with geometry and kind of the visual language of math, using that to create these really sort of big, sprawling, growing, organic forms. And they tend to be really bright colored and vibrant, too. So I deal a lot with color theory, which is kind of, you know, again, comes from that fine art background. So it's kind of using those more traditional tools, but on like a grand scale.
Now, did you have an interest in math or geometry as a child?
No, okay. I was terrible at math. That's not even fair. My teachers told me that I was not good at math. They really pushed me into English, into art, into the more sort of creative bend. And I was terrible at geometry. Looking back, I think I took it 10th grade or something like that. And I remember getting so frustrated because I could see what the answers were, just like by logic. Like, I understand, like, just by looking at these two triangles, I can see that they have the same angles, but it was the proofs that always got me. And I think that's sort of been a theme in my life, is like the black and white rules of something kind of are the things that get in the way for me, but the abstract, the essence of it, the structure of it, those are the things that I really love.
You said something that was very interesting to me about being in school and not your math teachers, but more art related, that they didn't teach you how to draw. They taught you how to see.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
That came about for my last 2 years of high school. I went to the North Carolina School of the Arts, which is basically an arts conservatory boarding school in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And it was essentially art boot camp. So we got the foundation sort of like drilled into us. Figure studies, the design basics, you know, unity, composition, all these things that really lay that groundwork for any artist or any visual field. But I think more than that, I had a drawing teacher named Clyde Fowler, who was sort of like, for us, he was like the messiah. He taught me how to look at the world sort of through the lens of somebody actually seeing something, as opposed to, I don't know how to describe it exactly, but he would give us exercises. There was this one that I remember really clearly where he, during a drawing class, we were learning about gesture and how to draw the motion of something. And he spent 20 minutes just throwing objects into the air, and we would have to sort of follow them with our pencil. And there was a sort of like wild experimentation side to him too, that kind of shook up the way that we saw things. So instead of, you know, seeing an object, he would, you know, toss it up in the air. So we'd see the sort of spiraling motion of the object, and we'd see it in all its different perspectives, and we'd see it in relationship to everything else. And it really kind of forced us, and especially forced me, to see not just the thing itself, but the possibility of a thing and how everything is sort of connected together in space and in time and in motion. And it sort of like cracked open this thing for me in my vision. And the visual world sort of began to take on a new life as this dynamic force.
How did you get used to working with scale?
It actually, there was not much of a learning curve for me, because the elements that I work with are kind of pieces that can be scaled up and scaled down really easily. When you're working with pattern, it's so basic. I work a lot with triangles because it's the most basic of all the geometric shapes. So from one triangle, you can make, you know, it, as many times as you multiply that or stretch it or shrink it or skew it or whatever, you can make an infinite number of shapes, and you can also scale those shapes up or down or build them kind of as modular pieces to make these forms that are huge but are still made up of these really manageable size pieces.
You also mentioned, let me back up. You mentioned going to school in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
You're from Durham.
Mm-hmm.
You also have some time spent in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're in Atlanta.
Yes.
So you've been around the South.
I love the South.
What do you love most about the South?
I should preface this by saying I didn't always love the South.
Well, why not?
I grew up, well, so my dad is from Detroit, and my mom is from, she was born in rural Virginia, like hill country Virginia, and she moved to Iowa when she was 9 or 10, and her accent was so thick. They couldn't understand her, and they thought she was illiterate. They put her in remedial English, and so she sort of like trained herself to lose her Southern accent. And growing up, I had this sort of this kind of resentment or hostility toward all the things that I viewed as the South being that I wasn't. So I didn't have a Southern accent. I'm Jewish. I was raised Jewish. There were a lot of things sort of in the culture, and especially like the religious culture, that I had a hard time coming to terms with. And that, you know, as I got older, I started to understand more and more, like, what's good about the South is not, I mean, there's tension here for sure, racial tension, religious tension, class tension. But what I love about the South is this willingness to sort of like, for the most part, like get in the dirt and kind of hash things out, even if it gets messy. And I don't know. Now I just love, there's like a wildness to it here that like every time I leave and I come back, I appreciate that more and more. And some of it is the natural landscape, you know, this is the things that I grew up with, the trees and the hills and I mean, it's just beautiful here. It's so green, especially in Atlanta. I miss that when I go and I come back. And it's something that I don't take for granted, you know.
So what was it about Atlanta that drew you here, at least for this phase of your career?
It was more of a gut feeling than anything. It was like this, it's like the same with people. It's like you recognize when you feel a certain chemistry with someone or with something. And I felt that pretty much like the first day that I was here, there was like something that I had been looking for a while, which was like a place in the South that I felt like there was some familiarity to it because it is the South. And, you know, I've lived here pretty much my whole life, but there was some force that was a little bit, would be a little bit of a discovery for me, or there was something here that I needed to explore that would challenge me. And I got that especially while I was painting. Like the first time that I came to Atlanta, really, and spent any time here was the Living Walls Conference of 2012. And I wasn't living here yet. And I was painting a mural over in Kirkwood, kind of at the boundary of Kirkwood and Candler Park, right off DeKalb. And I had been painting murals for like a year and a half, 2 years. So I was still pretty new to it. And I painted mostly in places, like the reaction sort of thus far, like in Asheville or in Charleston, like smaller cities where I painted, had been sort of like, it had either been like, oh, good for you, you're doing something, or it had been this sort of like suspicious look, or sort of like, what are you doing? And Atlanta was the first place really where people wanted to engage in a way that went beyond that surface, either like yes or no. I had people, and it was like a full range of people, ages, people with different levels of knowledge about art, and people asked questions that were really like not just like interesting questions, but questions like it came from like this deep seat of curiosity. And that's been my experience, like pretty much everywhere in Atlanta that I've painted, people really want to engage in some way, even if they're not exactly sure how, like they try. And as somebody working in the public sphere, like that's all you want is like people to care and to want to get in on that conversation.
So given those types of reactions mm-hmm. to your work, to your public work, your murals, how do you perceive that either the same or differently when someone buys one of your paintings mm-hmm. or your drawings, like something for them, for an individual, how do you perceive that level of engagement or attachment to your work versus a community's attachment to your work?
Yeah, I think it's kind of similar. My work doesn't really say a lot. It doesn't have this sort of, there's not like any sort of like didactic element to it. Like you either respond to it or you don't, to the color, to the rhythm, whatever. And I think that's the way that I like to experience art is just like from a purely emotional, visceral standpoint. And I think that that's the same way that that people respond to my work is, you know, either it's sort of like, oh, that's nice, but maybe I'm a little bit ambivalent to it, which is fine. You know, like everybody's going to have their own reactions and other people, you know, for whatever reason, if it's the color or the shape or whatever, it kind of hits them in the gut a little bit, or it draws them in and leads them, you know, somewhere else in their imagination. And those are the people the same people that will stop and stare at a wall for 10 minutes or keep coming back or whatever, or form attachments on their walk to work. Like those people are the same people who, you know, buy the work to put in their living room or whatever. It's that same sort of like wanting to connect or keep coming back to the piece over and over again for whatever reason.
You mentioned when you were in school in North Carolina that your teacher, Clyde Fowler,
mm-hmm.
that he would throw objects up, you would follow, you mm-hmm. would learn a different way of looking at the world or even art. And that made me wonder, do you get a chance to play as an artist? And if so, what does that look like for you?
Oh, man, that's such a good question. I do. I think a lot of the play that I do, I guess it kind of comes in two forms. One is the kind that's just sort of like the fun things that I do in my life, which I've come to realize like in the past couple of years are really important. Like if I went to Arabia Mountain this week and I went to the Westview Cemetery this morning just to like look at some architecture. And it's like it can be considered research, things like that. But it's also like for me, I love exploring. Like that for me is a chance to play, just sort of like get out in the world and see things and see what happens. And I feel like all that information, especially like when you're having a good time, it tends to kind of root itself in you, in your brain, whatever. And then you can kind of see artistically where that comes out. If it's shapes, if it's like a really playful line, like, I don't know, there's all sorts of ways and like that I think are not quantifiable, that those kind of like moments of really intense joy or relaxation or whatever come out in the work. And then kind of the structured play that I do within my practice is like very much rooted in my drawing practice. So I never know before I begin a drawing where it's going to go. So the entire thing essentially is play, or that sort of like creative exploration where it starts with one line or one shape and then it just keeps growing. And I just let my brain and my hand sort of like do this dance, and I try to let my brain and my hand kind of like work separately of all the other parts of myself, like the parts of myself that have to pay bills and, you know, maintain my website. Like that's the time when I can set all those other things aside and sort of go on like this like spiritual autopilot where they just get to play. I think that's a really important part of any practice and also of any life. Just to keep, you know, that's what will keep you invigorated, I think.
So when are you most challenged as an artist?
Right now, I am making kind of a foray into the three-dimensional world, which is a big challenge for me. I can't tell yet if that's just like a mental block that I've put up for myself or if it's a real kind of handicap that I have. But I spend so much time in two dimensions, in drawing, painting. But I love architecture, and that was first what drew me to muralism, was seeing these like huge, like these beautiful, ornate patterned cathedrals and the effect that those had on me and on all these other people that I saw walking into them and through them and around them. There's something that pattern and that kind of surface treatment can have when it's applied to three dimensions, these like beautiful arches and barrel vaults and columns and floors and ceilings and mosaics. There's something in that effect that I think is more powerful than if you just see something on a flat surface. It's like something like a flat surface in motion to me is so much more interesting and so much more powerful. So I've been trying to figure out how I can translate two dimensions into three dimensions. And it's tough for me. It's a brain stretch, but I'm working now with a friend of mine who has like a CNC router and laser cutter and plasma cutter and a 3D printer. And I'm going to collaborate with some other friends who do some 3D modeling and who are architects. So it's like it's almost like a couple different translators to get to the end point of something architectural. So I can come up with a 2D and then sort of work with someone who understands how to translate 2D into 3D and then 3D into actual fabrication. So like with the help of a couple other people, I think we're going to try to build these forms that use like cut patterns as a way to make three-dimensional forms. And especially like if you cast light through them, then they become these like these plays on shadow and these whole kind of four-dimensional atmospheres. So that's my latest challenge.
Last question.
Okay.
What is your favorite place in Atlanta to go to and be inspired?
That's another good question. I like driving around a lot, or actually not driving. I like walking around. I live actually in this neighborhood. I live in Reynoldstown, like one block away from Wonder Route. And, I spend a lot of time, like if I'm too stuck in my own head or if I feel like I've kind of hit a dead end with something, or I'm having a hard time processing things, then I'll walk around the neighborhood. There's like a little stretch of the Beltline with all these like overhanging trees, right near my house that I'll just like go pace up and down that or, walk up and down Wiley along the railroad tracks. So, I mean, it's not like anything like super magical, but there's something about, I think that there's like such a beautiful variety of things and places just like within my neighborhood, within this neighborhood. But there's also the comfort of like being close to home, I guess. But yeah, I'll just like walk around and that usually clears. Sometimes I have to walk longer than other times. But usually that will help me sort of like clear whatever block there is.
Molly Rose Freeman, let all of our listeners know how they can learn more about you, what you're working on, and stay in touch.
All right. You can email me personally at mollyrosefreeman@gmail.com. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at mollyrosefree. And you can check out my website for more examples of my work and my blog at mollyrosefreeman.com.
Molly, thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.